You're listening to Lateral Media. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're doing great. Today, I want to share with you my top 10, my favorite books of all time, because I've never really made a definitive list until now. I fell in love with reading when I was a child, but I was never a fast reader. And it was only recently, and by recently I mean 5-6 years ago, that I started reading more than 3 or 4 books a month. Also, I've always loved TV series, and I do keep track of all the shows that I watch, all the episodes, and my ratings for them, and that takes a lot of time. So reading has always had to compete with TV shows for my attention, and honestly, I think it was only during the pandemic that I started to favor reading a little bit more, or a lot more. I'm kind of struggling to keep up with my shows now. But this episode is about books. Let's stay in topic. I'm going to share with you my top 10, and I feel like I've already talked about all of these books here on the podcast. I don't think any of them will come as a surprise, but maybe the order will. Let me tell you about the books and what they mean to me. Number 10 is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix by J.K. Rowling. I know, it's hard for me too. But I can't deny what this series of books, and this book specifically, has meant to me for so long. Sirius Black is my favorite character of all time, and the first time I got my heart broken by a fictional story was when Sirius died. Well, spoiler alert, he dies. I mean, come on. Sirius taught me that love and friendship matter, and that more often than not, they survive the worst levels of hardship we can go through. I honestly think I am a better person because I got to read about Sirius Black. I love The Order of the Phoenix because that's when we see him happy and reunited with Remus, his best friend. I'm not going to say lover, don't worry, although that's what I think they are. But anyway, I just love to see him happy before he dies. That's it. Number 9 is Save Yourself by Kelly Breathitt. We have a young man, Patrick, who lives with his brother and his brother's girlfriend. He likes her, she likes him, but it's complicated. His father was arrested because he was drunk driving and he killed a kid, so nobody in town likes them. Patrick lost his job because of that whole situation, and now he works in a convenience store, and it's super shitty. But then he meets a goth teenager who starts hitting on him, and he hates it, but he also likes it. And he's obviously attracted to her, but trying to do the right thing. It's such a mess, such a complicated story for Patrick. The reason why I love this book so much is because I love Kelly Breathitt's writing. It reminds me a bit of my writing, and I'm not saying I'm a good writer or that she's a bad one, but her writing reminds me of the way that I build my ideas when I'm writing, when I'm telling my stories. And that was a very comforting thing for me back when I found out about Kelly. Coming up at number 8, Eu Vejo Kate Se Despertar de Assassino by Claudia Lemes. Here we have Kate, a young, depressed, suicidal writer who started writing the biography of a serial killer, Nathan, who has died recently. However, someone's out there killing people with the same MO that Nathan used back in the day, so naturally she becomes a suspect. There is an FBI agent, or former agent, who helps her and they fall in love. It's super cute. I love Ryan. But my favorite thing about this book is that Nathan, the serial killer, he actually does see Kate. like his spirit is there guiding her throughout her writing process. And he's a dick. Of course, he was a psychopath. So we have three POVs, right? We have Kate's point of view, Ryan's point of view, and Nathan's point of view. It's not a delicate narrative. This is a very violent book. It's not for everyone, definitely. But I just love how crude and smart the narrative is, how well the three point of views come together and how they balance each other out. I read this last year and it was the first time in a very long time that a book made me feel something. Number 7, The Stand by Stephen King. This is the story of a plague and how the few survivors regroup and rebuild society with what they have. It's also a story of good versus evil because whoever survived, whoever was immune to the virus, started dreaming about Mother Abigail, this old woman who is God's representative on Earth, and with Flag, who is essentially the devil. So Flag is trying to attract people to Las Vegas, where he's building his empire, and Mother Abigail is trying to send people to Boulder, where they will build community again. I used to love the good versus evil aspect of this story when I was in my 20s. I think that was what attracted me to it in the first place. But now that I'm older, much less hopeful, more pessimistic, I'm more drawn to the individual struggles of each character, the humanity in each one of them. Because while you have saints who didn't even dream about Flag, there is a bunch of characters who choose to go to Boulder and trust Mother Abigail. There are characters who took advantage of the pandemic to reinvent themselves for better, and they are not always sure that they did the right thing. And the same thing happens in Las Vegas. There are people there who are not sure and who actually regret going there. I do want to reread this book at some point post-COVID to see how I feel about it after having lived through a pandemic and through the current government. But yeah, there are lots of layers here. I love it. Number 6 is It by Stephen King. I'm pretty sure you know the story by now. There is a cosmic evil creature thingy who lives underneath Derry, Maine. This creature feeds off of fear, so it can take the shape of anything that scares its victims the most. Children are the easier target. They taste better, so it usually takes the shape of a clown, Pennywise. This is the story of a group of children who face Pennywise when they are young and once again when they are adults, because Pennywise comes back every 27 years. Again, now that I'm older and wiser, the story hits me in a totally different way than it did before. The friendship and the love that are in these pages are marvelous things. They're everything to me. Pennywise itself is not the scariest thing in the story for me. It's the fear of not being able to grow and evolve and be better. It's the fear of your traumas haunting you for the rest of your life, of not being able to enjoy the good things that happen to you now because your past is still there somewhere, making you believe that you are still frightened and alone and unimportant. You see, Stephen King is never just horror. Now, moving on to the top 5. Number 5 is The Summer That Melted Everything by Tiffany McDaniel. This is about a black boy named Saul who shows up in this town called Breathed, saying that he's there because he saw an ad in the newspaper asking for the devil. So, there he is. It was a local prosecutor who placed the ad because he wanted to meet the devil, because he'd been fighting against evil and the devil for so long at his job that he wanted to meet him. Fielding Bliss, the son of this prosecutor, is around the same age as Saul and they become friends. So Saul is saying that he is the devil and no one really believes him, but when strange things start happening around town, the people blame him, because he's black and no one else is. This book was so painful to read, but also so beautiful and necessary. One thing that pisses me off the most in life And one of the things that I find the hardest to deal with is herd mentality. And this book represents it really well. Like, one person decides that Saul is indeed the devil, and then the whole town is against him, wanting to kill him without even knowing why they are doing it or thinking about it. In many ways, this book made me think of the current reality, not only of my country, but of this global pandemic of ignorance and denialism that we are living. It's scary. Scarier than Pennywise, that's for sure. Number four is Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. Heathcliff, black, orphan, poor, mistreated, abused, made fun of, ignored. Catherine, too innocent, spoiled, also ignored. Love, it doesn't work. Death, angst, longing, revenge, eternal suffering. It's foggy, it's cold. This is Wuthering Heights. I love this book so, so much, I don't even know what to say. I know they are hateful people, I know they are horrible, but I love them. This is my favorite tragic love story. I read it in high school, I wanted to write a play based on it, which never happened, but my love for this story is still strong. Number three, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. We have this professor who goes to the sea to try and kill a big, terrifying sea monster, but the monster turns out to be a submarine commanded by Captain Nemo, who just wanted to be where people aren't. Respect. Nemo holds the professor and his companions captive as they journey through the deeps, and the professor learns all of Nemo's tricks. The reason why I love this book so much is because it was the first book I've ever read. It was part of my grandfather's little library, and when I decided I was going to be a reader, my grandma gave me this copy of 20,000 Leagues. The curious thing is that it was a Disney abridged version, so it was considerably shorter than the real edition, but I only found out about that when I was 23, 24 years old. I really enjoyed the story when I read the whole thing, but that Disney edition is still my favorite. Number two, The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. This is the story of four people who arrive at Hill House to find evidence of the supernatural. They are Dr. Montag, Theodora, Eleanor, and Luke. They all begin to experience strange events while in the house, including unseen noises and ghosts roaming the halls at night, strange writings on the wall, and other unexplained events. But at first, it all seems to be almost inconsequential. However, things start to get serious because Hill House wants one of them to stay. I've just talked about this book like 2-3 episodes ago, and I will keep talking about it for a long time because it is the best horror novel I've ever read. I love the simplicity of it and how well the horror builds. I also love Eleanor's character and how her past experiences shape her interactions with the other characters. I understand how tempted she is to live an adventure, and I also understand why she ends the way she ends. Number one, the best book of all time, my favorite, is The Dark Tower. Number five, Wolves of the Cala by Stephen King. This book is perfection. It encompasses all the perfection of this series. I swear it does. At this point in the story, all the characters in the quartet are familiar to us, readers. We already have our favorites. We are already interested in this or that other aspect of what's happening internally with each of them. And then King gives us one more character that is amazing and that I love so much. As you guys know, I'm in my third reread of the series, and I'm super excited to get to Wolves of the Cala, so I'm not going to talk about it too much now. But I will say that I wouldn't love the Dark Tower series so much if it weren't for book 5. It's perfect. It goes up, it goes down, it makes you laugh, it makes you cry. It's all I love about a good story, and it's my favorite book of all time. Okay, that was an episode. How are you feeling? Are you hydrated? Are you good? Have you eaten healthy today? Do you like any of the books that I mentioned in this episode? Find me on Instagram @MonicaSanoli and tell me what you think about them. And hey, if you are Brazilian and you want some help improving your English skills, go to monicasanoli.com.br/cursos, C-U-R-S-O-S, or click on the link in the description of the episode to check out the courses that I offer. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and follow the podcast wherever you're listening to it. And I'll see you next time. Bye! Esta foi uma produção Lateral Media. Se você gostou do programa, talvez você goste do Uma Batata e Uma Coquinha, um podcast em português, onde um jogador experiente e uma novata falam sobre jogos. Você também pode gostar do Inglês para Mulheres, um podcast de cursos em áudio, onde cada temporada lidará com uma habilidade diferente da língua inglesa. A primeira temporada é sobre writing e está completa e disponível para você. Confira todos os programas em monicasanoli.com.br/lateral-media, M-E-D-I-A, mídia em inglês. Ou clique no link na descrição deste episódio. Obrigada por ouvir!